Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening. This is the Millwall Fan Show on
Acast.
Acast. It is, of course, your weekly dose of Millwall. And guess what? I'm back. Self-unemployed and back. Millwall fans, if you have any odd jobs that need doing, give me a call. Aaron Paul. Tweet me. Media. Right. Thank you to everyone for your messages this week. It's been absolutely brilliant. This is the first of the brand new Millwall Fan Show. It's a new era. We're sailing the good ship Achtung into new waters. Delighted to be joined this evening by, of course, Mr. Millwall. It's Nick Hart.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to the, what can we call this? Like the independent the version. Look. The independent new look at Millwall Fan Show on acast.com. We're sticking it to the man, Aaron.
I mean, what we're planning to do is, and I know Harry is very much up for this. Harry Warren's here, by the way.
Good evening.
We're actually going to rebrand ourselves and all wear dresses. that a few committee members are just thinking of just like donating or something like that. Gents, let's kick off by looking back at the defeat at the Den to Norwich. And whilst we're on it, by the way, I just remembered something. We can swear. So Norwich farked off with the 3 points. Ha, fart. Did you get it?
Get it.
Yeah. Near a sandbar for the bad jokes. There's just going to be clangs and drops. It feels very weird to be able to swear again. I haven't done a Sunday morning nightmare call to Nick for a while in terms of sitting in my room with a headset on doing this. It feels quite strange again. I feel like a freedom. I feel like I'm free at last. I'm allowed to swear. I'm allowed to go full Millwall.
Those days of being 12 again, isn't it, Harry?
Yeah, sitting in your room Moore, headset fuck on. Fuck Love Sport, right? We can do them, we'll get them out of the way. We're doing this our way now. This is it.
Well, Millwall was certainly farked on Saturday.
Yeah, it was a game that, we did our post-match review in HMP Harris Bar after the game. And then with the benefit of hindsight, looked at the goals. We were actually in that game, and I think that's the hardest thing to take. I know that our football was basic, and the lady who did the Norwich video thing on Sky Championship goals compared us with workhorses and old donkeys and the like, farmyard animals basically. It was true. But we were in the game. But as we've done a lot this season, and I think you'd agree, Harry, we've let too many points slip. When we've had 1 point in our grasp, it's been turned into a loss, and 3 points turns into 1 point or less sometimes. And it's just got that kind of sliding kind of quality to the season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit listless, isn't it? I think we deserved. I think we're equal to them for large parts of the game. Just again, that word quality, we don't have it. No. When we do show quality, the other players sort of are so shocked by it, they don't make the 5 yard run to go and help the man who's just beaten man. Marshall looked off, well, he didn't play thing, but Marshall's looked off the place, the pace since he's come back. Neil Harris was speaking about it. Archer's fucking pointless. I mean, he doesn't save anything or anything that he should anyway. The back four looked terrible. Murray Wallace was turning into player of the season, scoring goals, and he's injured now. Bradshaw's injured. It's just been, it's been a long old slog this season. And if we stay up, it would be the, by the good grace of the Lord Almighty, and hopefully a big clear out in the summer, and we can go again, because we don't, we don't want to go down. But if we did go down, we can't get rid of Harris, because the danger, if you get rid of Neil Harris, for me, is that we end up with another clown like Lomas, another clown like Donaghy, another clown like, the list goes on, you know, Holloway. Yeah, I try not to mention H. It's two prisons during one show, Harry's Bar, Andy and Holloway.
Someone posted, though, Harry, the other day, I mean, if we do go down, and it still is an if, it's not, you know, there's 11 games, I think, to go in the season, so it's by no means a done deal yet. It doesn't look great. I will concede that point. But someone posted, if we were to be relegated back to League One, other clubs in that position would be biting their arms off for a manager of Harris's quality. You know, with two, with a playoff win, and you know, we came close to the Premier League playoffs last season. Unbelievable as that seems in the circumstances. So it would be quite, it'd be a Brexit level hard to understand decision by other people, wouldn't it? Why are you doing this? You know,
in the cry for revenge, you would damage yourself unrecoverably, almost. Bearing on an act of self harm, almost, to get rid of Harris. So but when have Millwall ever been rational? That would be the question. So it's all emotion and no sort of take a breath and thing, which is what we love, of course. But the I can't work out this idea that to let him go would suddenly be the right idea. I just think I don't think the plan for the season was to lose Saville, you know, a week before the end of the transfer window, and I don't think they've ever recovered, if I'm being totally honest.
They should have planned ahead. They should have gone and got someone in January. Saturday, there was such a lack of spark, a lack of creativity up front.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it was so dire. You could see there were so many opportunities with Norwich where maybe they fell asleep or they were too, you know, focused on attacking that, you know, there was an opportunity there for Millwall, but it just felt like there was just no quality. Gregory, I'm sorry, like, I know he's great and, you know, people love him, but I just, his quality, he lacks quality. Let's be honest, you know, in the Championship, strikers are getting better and better and better. And we've seen with Norwich going and signing Tuomu Pukki, someone who was, you know, crap at Celtic, let's put it, and has gone and, you know, forged himself a decent career in Bromby and has come back and worked well at Norwich. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, like, you know, they should be going and looking for someone of that ilk, but, you know, they should be looking to really supplement the squad in the summer. And to be fair, they should have done it in January as well. You know, if there was an opportunity to bring someone in on loan or maybe a youth prospect, someone like that, they should have really done that. And it was evident to see where they were lacking on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, with, you know, the crucial January window, everyone was saying it. You know, we needed more punch up front. We haven't had goals. If you score goals, you're going to probably win the majority of your games, or you're not getting enough points certainly to survive. And we don't have that at the moment. Too many chances going begging. Too much bad luck. I mean, there's the old football cliche, isn't it? That you make your own luck. And we, I think also that when you're in a sliding situation, as we are at the moment, you tend to, I'm sure it's some psychological condition that says you create your own bad luck. It's almost like a self-fulfilling thing. We've had chances cleared off the line. We've gone close a few times. It actually looked okay in short spells, but we just don't sustain it. And it's hard. I agree with Harry that no one wants to lose a club legend like Neil Harris. It was great when we were doing well under him, and it kind of fulfills a dream that great player makes a great manager. Unfortunately, these errors this season have to come back to him, and I don't feel that losing the manager is the right move. I'm contradicting myself slightly, but equally, those mistakes are his and they've got to be learned from. The only doubt I have is Neil's capacity to learn from his errors and his mistakes. I've not seen that enough this season. And you can only hope that next season will be better in whatever division we're in.
I think, you know what, Nick, I think you made a really good point there in the sense of talking about Neil Harris and his capacity to learn and capacity to change. You know, you've look through the top two, three leagues, and everywhere you look, there are managers who are changing their style, who are learning, who are doing different things. And one of them I'll pick up on is Lee Johnson at Bristol City. I think he's learned. I think Farke has learned at Norwich as well. I think obviously having, you know, the facilities to go and get your own players and change the squad and all that is all well and good. But I think he's learned. I think Lee Johnson's done very, very well at Bristol City. You know, I look down the leagues, Gareth Ainsworth at Wycombe Wanderers, I think he's learned as well. And, you know, on the flip side, if you look at Neil Ardley at Wimbledon, he never learned. And ultimately, it was to his downfall, it was to his detriment, because he kept on playing the same way. He wouldn't change it. Well, and when he did change it, the players were trying to do different things, and it just looked a mess. And I think when I spoke to Neil after the game on Saturday, we did an interview with him, he just felt like someone who was pissed off yet stubborn. You know, stubborn that someone's not willing to, you know, sort of play by his way, and it didn't work out. And I don't know, I didn't get a great vibe off him.
I think, you know, I mean, stubbornness is a great attribute used wisely, and it's a terrible attribute used not so wisely. And I think Neil he knows what he wants, he knows how he wants his team to play, and he knows the level of commitment that he demands, the same commitment that he gave as a player. And you know, Harry and I will both be of similar outlooks that Neil Harris was one of the great Millwall players, and he gave everything when he wore the shirt. And I think he expects that of players that maybe don't buy into that kind of frame of mind, rightly or wrongly. You know, not everyone kind of bleeds Millwall, and you've got to find other ways to motivate players. We had it last season because we were on a roll. We got on that kind of madcap unbeaten roll. We had... and I think probably there was more influence from Tim Cahill coming into the team. He brought a certain star quality, which we've lacked this season. We don't have that internal sparkle. Sounds like Andrew's liver salts, internal sparkle. and we've lacked it. And unfortunately, we're now getting to the business end of the season. And, you know, we're running out of games, and we're searching for something that at the moment just isn't there. And I don't know, it's got to turn around if we're going to survive. And we're going to Bolton on Saturday. Neil said it's more important than the FA Cup, and I think he's probably right. And, you know, posted on Twitter earlier on, and there was a few comments to say, of course it's more important than the FA Cup, because 3 points at Bolton will give us that cushion back, which we've given away. We've frittered it away,
and almost killed Bolton off as well.
It'll kill Bolton off, and they've had a tough week. Very different set of problems there. I think sometimes, you know, we all moan as Millwall fans, and on the social media you get a lot of moaning, but you've got to look at clubs like Bolton. I mean, it made me laugh. There was the EFL had an extraordinary meeting this week to consider cases of Bolton Wanderers who are, you know, struggling to pay their staff, people's jobs on the line. They made the game on Saturday was touch and go until yesterday when it was finally confirmed. They're talking about the situation at Coventry City and the return back to the Ricoh Stadium. Blackpool have just got shot of this lunatic Owen Oyston up there, and he's run that club into the ground. And there was one other. Oh, it was Charlton, wasn't it? It was Charlton. The owner wants the Football League to buy the club.
Roland de Châtelet is with me. Roland.
It's the best name, isn't it?
To be fair, it's when he does Farhad Mashiri. For Everton owner, Farhad Mashiri. It's like, all right, mate, yeah, calm down. John Berylson is with me. All right.
Well, my point being that in that company, I mean, you know, I know John Berylson has, some will say, he's been unambitious in his spending. And we just talked about the January window where we didn't get players in that we needed, and that lacks ambition. But when you look at where some other ambitious owners and managers have taken their clubs, I think sometimes you've got to be a little bit, you've got to show a little bit of perspective, because we're not in those kinds of bad places. And we do have a future looming. You know, it may be that we have to take a temporary knockback, and I hope we don't go back to League One, but we've been in League One before and we'll come back from it. But you've got to look at the other side of the coin, and it could be a lot worse, in my opinion.
Could be a lot worse. It could be, you know, we could be in League Two. I remember when Jacket took over and Harris single-handedly sort of kept us up one sunny afternoon when he wasn't going to get a contract. I can't remember. I think it was against Oldham or someone like that. And I think he scored two and laid one on, and we won 3-1 and we stayed up. And that was on the verge of going to League Two. I think that was back in like 07, the year before we had the run to the playoffs the year after. So, you know, he's a servant of the club. He understands it. He's not doing this willingly. You know, it's not like a Mourinho or a Conte sort of staying there till they pick up their pay packet and get sacked. You know, it's not like that. It's not that situation at all. So I get what you mean. I also get the Berylson thing. I mean, you know, what do you want Berylson to do? Do you want us to, I suppose really what we want him to do is to go to the same kind of accountants that Man City seemingly have done. And we just get to choose.
I
what
can get
FFP.
You a few of them down south if you want.
Yeah, we go to FFP and just go, no, Jeb Wallace only earns £1 a year. legally can't say anything else.
There's another side to the coin. I've just said, and you know, we've kind of all agreed it could be a lot worse, and it certainly could be. But there's the other side of that question, just to turn it around, is could it be a lot better? Because I think I asked this question on Twitter. I mean, do we have to be playing this direct style? Could we do better with the players we have? And I'm not convinced that we couldn't mix it up more. I don't think we'll ever be Barcelona, but we could. We don't have to be so relentless in our long ball.
Could be Bermondsey's answer to Barcelona, and that would do something. I agree with you. I think, you know, Millwall could do something different, but I want to look at another club, which is two away from Millwall. It's QPR. Yeah. They are 12 points above Millwall. Same amount of defeats conceded. I mean, let's be fair, their goal difference is too different to Millwall. They're two goals better off than Millwall.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had a horrendous start to the season. Would it have been better for Millwall to have had this sort of like really sort of a really barren run at the start of the season, win a whole load of games in the middle and sort of tail off at the end? Would it have been a bit better to do that and give everyone a bit of optimism, you know, going into the last bits rather than, you know, getting results, picking up points and picking up that 8 wins? You know, QPR have only picked up four more wins than Millwall. Would it have been better to do that? I mean, let's be fair, QPR's squad has been decimated as well. Really decimated to the point where they're relying on Jeff Cameron, they're relying on Angel Rangel, who's another one of them breeder Spanish fullbacks that seems to go until like they're 40. And they, you know, they managed to bring in Hemed and Wells, who I think are brilliant. If Millwall can get themselves Toma Hemed on loan like next season, wow, what a signing. But they've managed to do that, you know, by altering the squad a tiny bit. Don't forget, they got Tonks 7-1 or 7-0 at West Brom, whatever it was. They went on a horrible run under McLaren where everyone thought, you know what, they're going to push the button and bin him off again. But they managed to sort it out. And I just wonder, you know, that their four wins is the difference. They've lost the same amount of games. But everyone's talking about QPR in this really sort of gleaming light, you know, because McLaren's turned it around and they've done this and they've done that. If that was the case, if Millwall started the season with 10 defeats or something like that and went on to win or pick up points in the next, you know, 17 or 18, would everyone be going, oh my God, Neil Harris is the saviour. You know what, he's done wonders after a horrendous start, blah, 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 blah. In the same way that they did with Brentford last year after they lost their first 10 under Dean Smith. You know, everyone turns around and goes, oh, the geezer's a saviour. He's brilliant. He's turned it all round. Are we looking at it, you know, because of the way it is, or, you know, I don't know, is there another way we can put a positive spin on this?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's been a strange Juddery season. I mean, we started off with the will he, won't he leave George Saville story, and then in the end he actually did leave when we all thought he was going to stay, so we had that kind of false start there. We then signed Tom Bradshaw, who I think we all had pretty good hopes for from Barnsley, who immediately got injured and was out for the season. Ryan Leonard came in, and, you know, I don't mind Ryan Leonard, but I don't think he's as good as we don't have as good a plan now as we lost in George Saville, and he's not shown enough for me this season to really warrant the high hopes are invested in him. So we've had a few kind of false starts in the season, and obviously we're all looking forward, I think, to another relaunch with the January transfer window, which never happened on any substantial level anyway. I know Ben Marshall coming back was on the surface was a good move at the time, but even he's not exactly found form since he's come back. It's been a tough one. I mean, I'm still not writing off. I'm not saying it's inevitable that we have to go down. You're just looking at the league table, as you mentioned, QPR there, Aaron. I mean, the BBC table got four red L's and one green W in their last five games. That's no different to In fact, we've got a better record in our last five games than QPR with one draw in there and one win. So it's still possible. We've just got to find some fight from somewhere. And at the moment,
our running is horrendous. Our running is horrendous if you look at it compared to everyone else, though. We've got Stoke, West Brom, Leeds. That's three. Got Bolton this weekend. You probably now Bolton, because of the other games, you have to probably beat Bolton.
We've got to get a result with Bolton. Yeah, I agree.
But you know, I'd probably, if you offer me a draw away at Elland Road, I'd probably take your hand off for it. And if you know, we'll beat one of Stoke or West Brom, depending on what happens on the day. I don't think Stoke are that good, but then Millwall can have what they've done against Preston, have a 20-minute mad spell where they decide to forget how to play football, look like 11 blokes that have just walked out the pub. But that hasn't happened too much. You know, we haven't been thumped. We haven't been thumped like that all year, really, apart from that Preston sort of 20 minutes. We ain't gone in 3-0 down or whatever a lot of the time. We lose by the odd goal. So, again, we need really Rotherham to get thumped a few times, I think, to help us out.
Yeah, the goal difference
is going to end up being like a point.
I can't see us getting anything at Leeds, because that gives us Bolton on Saturday.
Well, Leeds will be chasing Norwich. They're chasing and chasing and chasing Norwich. They want to win the league.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Don't they?
Achtung, Mehlball.
The Wonderwall Cup 2019 will be held at the Den, Bank Holiday Sunday, May the 26th, 2019. Lions legends including Jimmy Carter, Alex Ray and the star of Championship manager Cherno Samba will take on the stars of social media, including the F2 freestylers Bradley Simmons and comedian Man Like Hacks. Why not make it a family day out? £10 entry fee for adults, £6 for the under-16s and just £3 for the under-12s. The proceeds from the match will be split 50-50 between Childline and the veterans charity SAFA. Tickets are available now at www.millwalltickets.com. www.millwalltickets.com. The Wonderwall Cup, Sunday, May the 26th, 2019. See you there.
I'd like Rotherham with Paul Warne, but I think they're susceptible to getting a battering, you know? They're really susceptible to taking a beating and taking their eye off the ball. You know, and speaking to a couple of Rotherham fans, they're just really happy to be here. You know, they're just happy to like sort of play
it
along.
It feels like when we went down last time we left the Championship, didn't they beat us they end up relegating us on the Tuesday before the season with their game in hand? And Steve Evans famously said that he'd drink pink champagne.
That's right, you know, tonight. Yeah.
Because Gregory said hopefully they bottle it. Yeah. And he dug him out and said, well, you know, all he said was hopefully they bottle it and they don't stay up. And he went, oh, the only bottles we're doing is pink bottles of champagne tonight. You know, the totally class act that he is, the young walrus there. So, yeah, I think it's roles reversed this time, isn't it? We're the ones with the points. We're the ones with the game in hand, or we will be, because obviously of the cup tie. So, yeah, it's gonna go down to Wigan away, isn't it? We're all gonna drive all the way up to Wigan, and I'm thinking about
Sunday start. Yeah,
yeah, I'm thinking about just staying in Manchester, to be honest. Afterwards, and just enjoying the evening. Well, I say enjoy the evening, but can you really enjoy yourself in Wigan now? And you've got more knowledge of northern football wastelands than I do.
Has anyone ever had a Wigan kebab?
No, I've never been Wigan to Wigan
kebab. Anyone?
It'd be one of my boxes tipped on my '92, you know.
It's not great, yeah. But I mean, the Wigan kebab is actually a pie in a roll. So yeah,
I've seen a picture of that, and it was online earlier on. Someone put a pie inside a bread roll.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly Wigan, what it is.
Strange up north, aren't they?
Very weird, mate. Very weird. Shout out to any Millwall Northern listeners.
Shipman. I do have some Northern correspondents. I'm going up there on Saturday to Bolton. So I'll be catching up with John Shipman, who's our Northern correspondent.
London Shippers.
Moved up to Preston. So I'll be catching up with him hopefully on Saturday.
How old are you going?
Eh?
Are you going, Harold?
Oh, no. No, no, no. Man is not going up north. I get to Watford and I sort of get
dizzy.
Nah, it's all right. I go away. Like this season's been quite strange for me. I haven't really been infused by anything. It's a bit of apathy. That's just everyone is the same. It's after the Lord Mayor's show. The players, the supporters. I sound like Mr. Bye for now. The players, the supporters, the directors. Now. Yeah. But yeah, just because we got so close, the closest probably since what 2001 was it when Stan John in the last minute?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to break my heart for the second time in my heart's been broken many times, but Millwall always feels worse. You know, I remember being a 9-year-old. We went to Wigan on a Tuesday night in the playoffs. Must have been the League One playoffs, probably Division Two as they were then, and they won. And they'd already beaten us.
Was that Springfield Park or the DW?
That was at a DW. I think they were one of the first years at the DW. They won. I think they beat us. They'd already beat us in the 1998. LDV Vans auto windscreen final or whatever. So they're a box side. So they're going to fucking relegate us. Lump on now. That's what's going to happen.
I mean, my very first season following the Lions was heartbreak. I mean, I was introduced to heartbreak from the very moment I began as a Millwall fan, because 1971-72, we famously thought we'd been promoted to Division One top flight at the time. And then it was taken away by Birmingham. There's a false rumour that Birmingham had lost and they'd actually won. So they had to go to a game at Orient in midweek. They had one game in hand, which they won and got promoted over Millwall. And I remember the scene of pitch invasion and the team being cheered off when they thought Millwall had been promoted. And then it all turned out not to be true. So from the very moment I began my Millwall supporting career, chaps, I think I must have fell in love with heartbreak from that moment onwards. It's always been the story.
Close
and have your heart broken, you know.
It's all right. And did you know, just a bit of trivia for you, did you know that former Wigan Athletic chairman Dave Whelan broke his leg in cup final?
He doesn't mention it much, does he?
No, but it's just literally like he woke up to him. Hello, how are you? Dave Whelan. Yeah, JJB. Did you know I broke my leg in cup? Yeah, shut up, Dave.
A bit like Cole Frotch.
Did you know
I once fought someone in front of 80,000 people at Wembley? Just every time he's on Sky. Every time.
Dave Whelan, he'll be on his headstone. What are you on about?
They did beat Man City in the cup final in the most shithousery way ever, didn't they? Just so cut pressure.
Roberto Martinez just pisses me off. Just look at him and it just angers me. He just literally... Wigan, when in the Premier League... Their tactic was simple. Get absolute battered 9-0 by Spurs every season. You know, get beaten for the first 10, 15 games. Draw a couple. And then the last 10 games, we'll just go and beat everyone. With players like Hendry Thomas and Connor Salmon. Mm. And you know, Maynor Figueroa. and basically any tripe we can find in Venezuela or something
like
that.
Callum
McManaman. They pay £3 million for him or something like that. Just absolute tripe of players.
Charlton used to specialise in survival in the Premier League. And Wigan did a bit, didn't they? They survived beyond their means if they needed at that level. And Charlton did it. And I mean,
Bolton as well.
Bolton did, yeah. I mean, it all goes wrong in the end. I mean, look at Bolton now.
Loads of clubs like that. You look at Swansea, look at Villa, look at Norwich, all these clubs that stay up. Yeah. Reading, when they first came up in 05, 06, they're brilliant for the first season. And then what happens is they lose their identity. And everyone ends up playing, instead of playing attacking football, they play football which is just simply built to stay up. It's just
like money ball football, basically.
Yeah, it's horrendous. And you lose your identity. It's so bad.
Well, we're going to retain our identity back in League One, the way I'm seeing it at the moment.
Yeah, blood thunder and no wingers.
And Akron's
we have to sign James. We have to sign James Henry again.
I'll tell you something. I still maintain that Mill signed the wrong Barnsley striker. They should have signed Kiefer Moore instead of Bradshaw. Kiefer Moore's a unit.
Mate, I'm telling you, Bradshaw's the only man I've ever seen playing outside the foot pass like that in a Millwall shirt. And then literally must have been. That was in his 7-minute cameo.
Where he broke his leg or whatever he done.
Yeah, even Ali Fusilini.
The best random Millwall signing ever. There's two. There's they announce Juan onto the pitch sort of 03-04, and they said Juan, he's a Brazilian, I think he was from I can't remember where we got him from.
Sao Paulo or something.
Yeah. They like big hype, big stadium announcer. Come on. And missed an
was
open
it Mr.
goal.
Byer for now?
No, it was Chris Bethel, I think, at the time.
Oh, okay.
That's a name from the past for Millwall supporters of over a certain age. And he missed an open goal and then went on to play for the Brazilian national team because that's our kind of retainment. I don't know what we sold him thinking where he was playing, but
he didn't show anything at all for us, one, did he? I mean, he was, you know, no one was too bothered when he left us.
No, and then, the other one was Aboubakar Fofana
Fofana.
So Aboubakar Fofana come from Juventus and they made a big
one of the big Italian clubs, isn't it?
Yeah, he was the fastest player I've ever seen. The problem was no one told him he had to bring the ball with him.
He was quick. We didn't have the ball with him.
So he'd run away from the ball. The ball wouldn't come with him. He'd run back and still win it. That was the thing. You'd be going the wrong way there. No, turn around. So, yeah, he was strange. He was on the left-hand side.
He was quite likable.
He's in the cup final photos. Randomly. I think he's still knocking about in them, yeah. Really? I'm sure it's him or it's another player that I have no idea who it is and just he's taken on a mythical Abu Fofana is that one sort of thing.
Bring back Giovanni Savarese.
Giovanni
Savarese was another one. Carlos Fandango.
Fangero.
Random player when we nearly got
Fandango.
Relegated.
Fandango.
Hey, fucking might as well have danced one. I think he got, how many goals he get? Fucking zero goals.
Zero, I think he got. Yeah.
Paul Huberts. Bring back Paul Huberts now we're in League One.
Achtung, Milbein.
I love this story. I mean, news at Den, when they're struggling for a story, they come up with some really oddball stuff sometimes. And there was this one about Lions stopper David Martin, who was not featured. I think he played once at Aston Villa last season.
he's
permanently on the bench, so no one really ever knows anything about him.
But franchise reject.
He's sympathising with Chelsea goalkeeper Kepa. I mean, what random story? Why would you go to David Martin to talk about?
Literally,
Kepa?
Everyone. They. It's like, you know, the people with the clipboards that approach you down the street. You know, like for a charity or whatever, Dave Martin sort of was taken by surprise, and now they've got him with the you know, abused puppy on the front. Do you have dogs? Do you like dogs? Yeah, I like dogs. Oh, they've got you now. You're on here. Do you like goalkeepers? I love goalkeepers. I'll look after Kevin.
What was Chris Zabrowski like?
Well, he was awful and all.
He went to prison.
He did go to prison.
He was quick, but he wasn't that talented.
There was another player that went to prison as well. Grant, can't remember that was his surname.
What was his name? Listeners will have to remind me.
Not the fellow who played for Charlton, was it?
Grant.
No, that's Richard Riffs.
when you hear it, remind me. What was the other
Gavin name? Grant.
Gavin Grant.
He played for Wickham as well.
He played for about 9 clubs and he got nicked. And,
was it armed robbery? Armed robbery.
Yeah, I think so, something like that.
Yeah, or attempted armed robbery. But I'm just picturing the News at Den reporter going up to David Martin asking him, would you ever pull a stunt like Chelsea goalkeeper Kepa and refuse to leave the pitch? It's kind of a leading
question. Get on it, mate.
And the obvious answer is no, I don't think so, says David Martin. I think the repercussions would not be worth it. My opinion is if you see your number being held up, then it's out of your hand. You've got to leave the pitch. Okay. So there's sympathy for Kepa. I'm sure that makes a big difference.
Does that make sympathy? I think that was just saying, well, no, I wouldn't do it. And I think he's a bit of a prat, really. I'd read between the lines there. That's a bit of a wet story. It's a very small story.
If that had happened at the Den, you'd see Neil Harris going on the pitch, just pulling him by his fucking ear, mate.
Oh, mate.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Well, I've only ever seen a substitute be substituted once, and that was under Kenny Jackett. That was Danny Nguessen.
Nguessen was brought on and taken off.
In 7 minutes.
Yeah. What was the other guy, the one, the double barrel bloke, the fat bloke? What was his name?
Gary Taylor Fletcher.
Was he substituted and brought on and substituted?
I don't know. All I know is he missed an open goal from 3 yards out. Rob Hulse was another fucking workhorse that was useless and all.
They have to correct us on that, Harry, won't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure there's some. The Millwall history files are sitting out there and typing away complaints. Don't send them to Love Sport, whatever you do. No more complaints to Love Sport. No more mentions. All related indicia and our copyright CC of the new Millwall fan show, which will be interesting to see who is on the new Millwall fan show. So, obviously, Aaron, your hands are tied. You can't really comment on any of this. I understand. But Nick, your odds on the new Millwall fan show presenters?
Sky Bet.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not aware if anyone's been tapped up yet. I mean, the station hasn't actually mentioned what they're going to do at 9 o'clock tomorrow. We're pitching in hard by going online straight up against it. So, they're going to have some heavyweight opposition, whoever does.
I'm going to be at Norwich, so yeah.
Aaron's out of it, so he's nothing.
If they want me, then a bit late.
Obviously, if you have no morals, I mean, I have a friend sitting the other side, which is why I left, you know, and so did Nick and Michael, of course, because we're nice people, you know.
Reason we left the station, just so that people know, and I'm not asking Aaron to comment because it's embarrassing for him, but costs required that certain, cutbacks were made, and we understand that as adults in the modern world. But I didn't want to work with anyone else, so I enjoyed working with Aaron. Got to know him a bit over the year that we were involved in the station, enjoyed it. And, you know, the idea of we're doing it for voluntarily, Harry, weren't we? We used to give up our Friday nights to go in each week, and you've got to enjoy it. And if you're not going to enjoy it, or you don't think you want to work with the station any longer, and I was a little bit disappointed with the way they handled the Everton thing as well, which added to some ingredients to the mix, but I took the view I didn't want to continue, and for that reason we decided to do it this way as a podcast. The advertising that this show generates goes towards charity, so I feel happier doing it now rather than it going in other directions. So those are the reasons behind it, listeners.
Very quickly, I just want to add to that and say, Lucas Ball, if I find out you're doing the fan show, I'm going to launch you and your flipping Doritos over the press box ball.
I mean, these are real insight into the character of the dog-eat-dog world of show business, ladies and gentlemen, where you're threatened with physical violence of your Doritos in press boxes.
And your Coke Zero, and I'll chuck Mickey Avery over the fence as well.
So obviously we're in HMP Harry's bar, in all seriousness, on Saturday afternoon after the game. So it was my first experience in Harry's bar. And obviously you heard the crash bang wallop of Nick's podcast at the weekend, you know, in the Sunday morning nightmare / Saturday night beer fest perusal. And it was a very strange experience for me. It felt like the most unloved community centre / death, like God's waiting room.
Well, look, as I mentioned, it was a sports centre caf.
Sports in the calf. Yeah,
I think even the calf was doing better than that. It was just so grey and horrid. I mean, I don't know what Mill fans DM me, message me on Twitter or whatever, or tweet me, I want to know, have you ever been in Harry's Bar? Are you aware that it exists? I mean, it takes money, presumably, from the MSC, I'd guess. I don't know. Michael's not here to answer, so I can't really ask Michael. But, you know, it's a...
We hear that the other members are on late night shopping tonight.
Oh, are they? Amazon, are
Thursday
they?
Night. No, Thursday night, late night shopping, isn't it?
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Harry's is like an unloved staff canteen in some remote office that, outside of London somewhere. It's got a real lack of soul.
I just had an image of Ricky Gervais's canteen in the office. You know what
it's,
I mean?
It's that, isn't it? It's there. We are.
Sergio Giorgini. That's where you expect, like, you know, a couple of the lads walk up. What's this? What you got there? Sergio Tacchini? No, Sergio Giorgini, mate. Sergio Giorgini, that's the one. I expected it, you know, like you see, like the entrance and all that. I expected it to like go up, and you know those old fashioned dark pubs with like red carpets and like patterns on them.
Yeah.
And that stuff like that. Basically, I expected it to look like a Yates.
Circa 1990.
Yeah, a Yates wine lodge. I expected that. I expected my feet to stick to the ground, and to be honest, I really wanted like my shoes to stick to the carpet. I wanted to feel that proper old school vibe, but no.
There's no atmosphere in there, is it? It's a soulless, unloved, unutilized space. There's no, you know, there's TVs up on the wall, but they're not in HD. They're in the very,
they're old,
in 720p.
Standard def, yeah.
Yeah, see, a cathode tube.
It's just random, you know, the people selling pucker pies out of, you know, out of the bloody... shit fucking eater. I forgot we can swear, so I was looking for a word, but I couldn't find one. It's just an unloved place. I mean, maybe next time, Aaron, when you come to the Den, we'll go to the outside bar underneath Colbo Lane, which is a bit more atmosphere. They play like techno music and the Prodigy outside, and you get a full Millwall experience. You get the full Millwall string at Wembley experience without the strings. You know,
I'll tell you what, if someone could get a license for one of these like industrial units at the Den, I mean, genuinely, you guys, Harry, I don't know about you, what your raving days are like, Nick, but there's a thing called, in Manchester, called the Warehouse Project. I don't know if anyone knows it. Harry, Warehouse Project?
I'm aware of their work.
Yeah. So they basically have one of these massive disused like industrial units about half a mile from Old Trafford,
right.
And they started putting on these like gigs on a Friday night and stuff like that, and a, you know, Saturday night, where they just sell cans. It's cans and, like, you know,
yeah,
and spirit mixes and stuff, and they've expanded that to do matches, and so basically on a match day, you go in there and they've got all like memorabilia on the walls, like right high up on the walls, and you can fit thousands of people in there. And it's just such a good atmosphere. If someone could turn that round in an industrial unit, and let's be fair, there's hundreds of them around the Den. You could be onto a winner. The Actung Bar, should we invest in it?
There is the Hillsong Christian Church. I think they get a bit rocking when they get the band on stage.
Get the old tea going.
Doing like, you know,
Blues Brothers type.
Hendrix gets up there, you know.
I was expecting more like a Belushi sort of. I have seen the light running down the middle of the aisle. But no, I mean, that is a fair point. There is nowhere to. We were discussing that on the way in on Saturday. All the pubs around Millwall are dead. They're all gone. But you know, you can't have a drink.
More. I mean, Harry's doesn't have to look like that, Harry, does it? And it is grim in there. And it's just interesting. I've been in there before, but I suppose I just never absorbed the sheer blandness of the place. And one thing Millwall shouldn't be is bland. And that it does look like a sports centre cafeteria, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be dedicated to, you know, a club legend. And there's pictures on the wall and stuff. But there's no shirts. There's no nothing. There's no... Is that you wouldn't know it was Millwall unless you knew who these people were, you know? And I'm guessing the fact that it's a bit like it sorted out for the people that were in there probably love it, right? And I'm not knocking them if that's what they enjoy doing. But, you know, there's only 50 of them in there. You know, yeah. the club's got whatever, 6,000 season ticket holders. And at the end of the day, money rules a lot of things, and really they need to look at it commercially. But you know, if they can't get the club shop to have the right amount of sizes and stock that's actually in the stock, how are we going to get a bar to actually act like a bar?
Well, that's the thing. You were talking about no memorabilia on the walls. Hang around, because all the dead stock at the end of the season will be whacked in frames around Harry's bar. The Millwall vest, the Macron Millwall vest. No club shop update tonight, incidentally. Young Mickey Avery is on secret business this evening. Don't know what he's doing, but yeah, he's on some form of on secret business.
On the next one of these, I'm guessing who becomes the producer on this, because obviously we've lost our producer Paddy. Well,
I'm recording it, so I'll edit it tomorrow morning. And,
so you're gonna take the credits. We're gonna have to invest in a soundboard, Nick. We're gonna have to go all professional on this now. We're gonna have to get better mics and
what, like a articles of association that agree what we're doing.
Yeah, we're gonna have to have like some kind of like 9 degrees of separation or something. We're gonna have to like, oh, well, we can't really discuss this tonight. We're gonna have to have minutes clearly because we can't say anything that's libelous now because of our friends. Obviously, I didn't know if you saw. TalkSport have moved from their old towers to a new building today. They may have mentioned it 700 or 800 times on air today, from what I'm aware. Where have they actually moved to, out of curiosity?
South Bank, the News UK building on South Bank.
Oh, is that where they've gone to?
Yeah, the Sun and everyone's in their Sun Times. They're all in the same building.
Oh, that's nice. If you I was going to suggest something then, but I feel for legal reasons, I might want to hold my tongue.
If this show takes off, maybe we could take over the offices either up or below Love Sport Radio. We could maybe move him on those.
Panda are shutting down. So if you fancy broadcasting to downtown Hong Kong, then let's go. You know, we could follow Jimmy Abdu to Shangang.
He's not actually. He's gone back to he's playing for a little French League 3 side, isn't he now?
Martins.
Martins. Yeah. So I'd quite like that. That'd be quite a good. That could be a trip for in the summer if we're not doing that. If we go to a random friendly of Jimmy Abdu, just turn up like them weird people that you see turn up to Cahill's games in India. It'd be like some random Millwall trip to India just to say hello to Tim Cahill for 10 minutes.
Acting on tour, the fan show on tour.
Should I have some predictions to finish off, gents?
Predictions. Bolton 1, Millwall 2.
Bolton 1, Millwall 0, Mark Beavers to score. Millwall, isn't it? They haven't been paid in God knows how long. Their families are using food banks. The staff have got no money. And Mark Beavers sticks another knife into your heart. Yeah,
you know it's going to happen.
Bolton 1. Millwall 3.
Ooh, I like it.
Have you practiced that? Is that you're practicing your new radio voice? Is that it?
It is. Bolton Wanderers 1, Millwall 3.
You heard it here first.
Exactly.
The other thing that I thought of, I've just got an idea of you being Jerry Sinclair from Phoenix Nights there.
Come and get your black bin bags.
yeah, that's it. Three of these Thursday nights, free and easy night with Aaron Paul.
Yeah. Free and easy night. That's what we should call this podcast, free and easy.
Free and easy. Nice one.
Lovely. Gents, it's been successful.
Great stuff.
Lovely. Cheers,
lovely,
in the words of Brian Moore. Right.
Well, Brian Moore, yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.